Good morning, everybody. We started last week just a little mini-series on Chol HaMoed. I think the Hilchos Chol HaMoed, they're not as long as complicated as Hilchos Shabbos, but for sure can't do justice to it in a two-part series. But we'll try just to give some guidelines and understanding and remember that the halachos have to be learned properly, and at least you'll know where and when to ask a shaila. So there's a lot that I want to try to cover today, so let's see what we can do. I will try to keep it clear and simple. Let's go back just a little step. We said that the halachas of Chol HaMoed are that Chol HaMoed should be treated like a Yom Tov, but it has certain kulos, just like Yom Tov has kulos that you're allowed to do melachos vel ochel nefesh, so too on Chol HaMoed you're allowed to do its defined melachos. Are those melachos also midaraisa or midarabanan? That depends on machlokes. The way we come out with maskana is that it is min haTorah that you may not do melachos in Chol HaMoed. But those things which are mutter, excuse me, sorry, we are in a war situation and the house is full of children and grandchildren, Baruch Hashem, something we're blessed with and we appreciate it, but it does cause this background noise. So we were saying that those things that are a mutter on Chol HaMoed, for example, something which is Ochel Nefesh or something which is Terech HaMoed. Ochel Nefesh is food-related issues. Terech HaMoed means something that you need for your Yom Tov. And Dover HaOved, something which, were it not to be done, would cause a financial loss. Those are let's call them the three main categories that allow us to do Melachos and Shabbos on Chol HaMoed. And therefore, anything that falls under those categories becomes mutter. Min HaTorah. Mid Rabbanon, they still set down regulations and said, no, not everything is clear-cut mutter, and each category has its own restrictions. But those restrictions will then be restrictions mid Rabbanon, not the Raisa. So once you have something which becomes needed for Yom Tov, what we call Terech HaMoed, or Davar HaOved, which means that there's a financial loss involved, then it automatically drops to a Rabbanon, despite the fact, or nevertheless, the fact that it's a Drabbanon, the Drabbanon style melachos still remain osur. So, something which we said is osur because of Akila Achayad or Amir Al-Akum, something you do b'shinoi, that you do it differently from the normal way, or you've got oi or batelin a goy to do it, even though that turns it into a Drabbanon and Shabbos, and therefore we always say that now when I'm dealing with a Drabbanon melachos, it's a double Drabbanon, therefore becomes more kolodik. Nevertheless, in Chol HaMoed, the fact that the guideline has set it into a Drabbanon doesn't change the way we're going to deal with that. We said, therefore, it is Midrabbanon. You still got to avoid, like, Amir Lakos. We did give examples of things that the Mukta falls away and other things fall away, but that was last week. So again, there are Yisurim Malachos on Chol HaMoed, and the main two heterim are Terech HaMoed. And Terech HaMoed means something that I need for Yom Tov. Within Terech HaMoed, we're going to classify it. Is it food-related or not food-related? And there's Davar HaOved. Davar HaOved, I don't think we're going to have time to get into that we're going to be mentioning it, but not discuss it as a category on its own. It's the Davar HaOved will be someone who owns a business, whether they can open or not, and whether you can work as an employee, whether you're an employer and you force your employees to come in. Those are Davar HaOved related shailos. What happens if you go past the store and you see something is on special and the special ends before Yom Tov? Is that considered Davar HaOved to buy something that is not Terech HaMoed for after Yom Tov? Though I'm not going to go that, I don't think we will manage to get that far in the halachos. We'll spend more time on what is considered Terech HaMoed and then divide that into the various categories. So last week we started and we mentioned Ochel Nefesh. Ochel Nefesh is preparation of food. The actual preparation of food, we said that is like on Yom Tov itself, on Chol HaMoed is mutter. And on Chol HaMoed we have a couple of more heterim that, for example, all the malachas of preparation of food become mutter and not just milisha ve'elech. On Yom Tov there's only kneading and cooking, but the pre-lisha malachas like picking and grinding and boirer do have restrictions. That's the Hilchos Yom Tov, what those restrictions are. Whereas on Chol HaMoed, there's no restrictions. Second of all, we said that on Chol HaMoed, you don't have to make sure that what you're cooking is for today and today only. You're allowed to cook for tomorrow and the next day. You're allowed to cook in large quantities. Whereas in Yom Tov you can't. On Chol HaMoed you're allowed to, when it comes to Ochel Nefesh, you can even do something which requires excessive effort. We're going to see that this becomes a major theme through Hilchos Chol HaMoed, is how much tircha. Tircha, let's translate that as effort. How much effort is necessary in order to carry out this melacha? We will see that those things which are totally effortless, there's a tzad to say that they're mutter, those things which are regular effort and those which are excessive effort. Generally speaking, excessive effort on Chol HaMoed is asur, even for something which is davar avod, unless there is excessive financial loss involved. Ask a shayla if you get into that situation. And the last thing that we mentioned that was mutter by Ochel Nefesh is what we call mechaven melachta lemoed, that generally speaking, you're not allowed to say on Erev Yom Tov, oh, Chol HaMoed's coming, so I don't have to do it now, I'll do it in Chol HaMoed. But when it comes to food preparation, you can. So you don't need to pre-cook anything, you don't need to do the melachas so that you have less melacha to do on Chol HaMoed. No, you can leave the cooking of Chol HaMoed for Chol HaMoed. But that is Ochel Nefesh itself, preparation of food. A subcategory of Ochel Nefesh is Hanas HaGuf, things that are directly involved to the preservation and the enjoyment of our personal bodies. An example of that would be applying makeup or having a shower or something like that, which is something turning on a heater to make us feel warm, turning on an air conditioner to make us feel cold. That's directly what we would call Hanas HaGuf, directly involved in the benefit of the body. That also falls as a subcategory of Ochel Nefesh and falls under the same rules that you may do these things. So you can turn on air conditioning, you can turn off heat, you can turn on heat, you can have a shower, you can, we'll see later on when you're in the shower, can you use a bar of soap or must you use liquid soap? We'll discuss that soon. But Hanas HaGuf is the same as Ochel Nefesh, where there are no restrictions. And therefore, when we're going to talk about Machshirei, it will apply to Hanas HaGuf as well. What is Machshirei? Machshirei is the one step away. Something which is not directly for the preparation of, but it helps in the preparation of. So if you have you need a knife to cut a piece of meat, so to sharpen that knife is considered as Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, the preparation for Ochel Nefesh. So Machshirei Ochel Nefesh don't have the same heter as Ochel Nefesh. Ochel Nefesh, we said, is basically there's no restriction. Machshir Ochel Nefesh does have a restriction. You may do a Maaseh Uman for Ochel Nefesh, for Machshir Ochel Nefesh. You may do something which classifies as the work of an expert. We'll define that, hopefully we'll get to that and define the difference between a Maaseh Heter and a Maaseh Uman, what is considered a layman's activity or a professional man's activity. We will also, hopefully we'll get to that. And what's also mutter in Machshirei Ochel Nefesh is you're allowed to do tircha yaseira, excessive effort, and you're allowed to do it in public. What you may not do is it mechaven melachta lemoed. So if you have a blunt knife and you know you're going to be needing it on Yom Tov, then you should be sharpening it before Yom Tov. If you didn't sharpen it before Yom Tov, then that is considered, and with the knowledge, this is a caveat, that if you have the knowledge that you're going to be needing it and you have the opportunity to sharpen it on Erev Yom Tov and you didn't, then you may not do that on Yom Tov itself. This is going to be particularly relevant to us when we deal with repairs. As I said, Hanas HaGuf is like Ochel Nefesh. So if I want to drive somewhere, I need to go somewhere for my pleasure. I want to go on a tiyul. So we're going to say that you can drive your car to go there. But my car has a puncture. So may I repair that puncture? That will be machshir. That will be the preparation for the Ochel Nefesh. In this case, it's Hanas HaGuf. So essentially, it's also to be mechaven melachta lemoed. You're not allowed to leave it for Yom Tov. If the puncture happened before Yom Tov, and you have an opportunity to have it repaired before Yom Tov, and you said to yourself, why should I? I'm busy now. Let me leave it for Chol HaMoed. I can do Chol HaMoed. Then it becomes offered to do Chol HaMoed. If the puncture happened before Yom Tov and you knew all about it but you just didn't get around to it because you were cleaning for Pesach and therefore you just didn't have a chance, that's not considered Mechaven Melachta Lemoed. So even though you knew about it, you could have fixed it, but you just didn't have the opportunity to fix it. You were busy with other things. Then that will be mutter to do on Chol HaMoed. We're talking about when a person had the opportunity to do it on Erev Pesach, on Erev Yom Tov, and yet didn't do it because they thought, well, if I don't do it now, I can do it later. That is exactly what Chazal don't want you to do, and don't want you to leave these type of melachas for Chol HaMoed, and therefore would be asur. So the same thing would be if your oven breaks, or your air conditioner, we said that turning on an air conditioner is considered hanas aguf. So having an air conditioner repaired would be considered as machshirin of hanas aguf. So having your oven repaired or having your air conditioner repaired will fit into the same category. If it was broken before Yom Tov and you had the opportunity to fix it and you didn't follow up on that opportunity and you left it for Chol HaMoed, then it will be also to fix. Whereas if you either it broke on Yom Tov, or you weren't aware of it, or you knew about it, but you didn't have the opportunity, you didn't have time to call someone, or you called someone and he didn't have time to come, whatever the excuse is, but it's considered as not having had the proper opportunity to fix it before Yom Tov, then you may have it repaired on Yom Tov itself. So that's basically what we covered last week, with a little bit more from this week. Now we'll try, go and see what we can cover. Now, although we said Hanas HaGuf HaMutter, there's two things that have been excluded as the Gzeira. One of them is haircuts and shaving, and the other one is laundry. We need fresh clothing, but yet these are two things that that Chazal told us not to do, and it's Gzeira, it's not the Doraisa, and the reason for the Gzeira is that if a person would be allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed, or would be allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed, he would be lazy and not to do it on Erev Yom Tov and say, well, Chol HaMoed, I don't go to work, Chol HaMoed, the kids are not going to go to school, it's going to be relaxing, there's going to be extra time. Mamela, you know, well, it's one day Yom Tov and I'll have my haircut the first day of Chol HaMoed and I'll look great for the rest of Chol HaMoed and the rest of Yom Tov. So the Chazal said, no, Shalai Yikonis the Moed Menuvel. We were afraid if we allow a person to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed, then he has no incentive to have it on Erev Yom Tov, and therefore no haircuts allowed whatsoever. Well, I wouldn't say whatsoever. There are certain exceptions. Someone who was in Avedus and didn't have haircut and then ended in Chol HaMoed, or someone who was in prison and got released in Chol HaMoed. Those would be some exceptions. But generally speaking, for the general population, no haircuts and no laundry to be done on Chol HaMoed. Again, there's also exceptions on laundry when it comes to children's clothing, but as I'm just going to mention as such and not go into it, as I'd like to cover as much as possible in the general terms. An interesting question, I just hinted it to before. What happens if you have a melacha that has no tircha involved at all, no effort is involved? The example given in the poskim is striking a match. Creating fire is asur. In fact, even on Yom Tov, it's asur. On Yom Tov, you can only move fire from one place to another, but to create fire originally is asur. On Shabbat, zikha is asur. So is it mutter on Chol HaMoed, or do you need the excuse of it having to be Torah HaMoed? So a person strikes a match for the fun of it, or a non-Yom Tov purpose, would that be an isur? And a lot of poskim hold that since there is no effort whatsoever in such a malacha, it would be considered as mutter. Therefore, that follows on in our day and age where a lot of our malachas are done in an effortless way, that would become mutter as well. So that would give a heter for anybody who wants to turn on a light or turn off a light, because today we don't even realize how we do it. You walk into the bathroom and your hand just slides out to that right-hand side of the doorway and you don't even know where it's going and you flick the switch and you've gone into the bathroom, you've turned on the light. That's why they sell Shabbos Kodesh covers over your lights, because it's so habitual that you turn them on and turn them off without even realizing that there's no effort involved. So that's even less effort than striking a match. So according to that, you can turn on and turn off lights as desired and not even as needed, as desired. Obviously, if it's needed, you're going into the bathroom and it's dark, you can turn the light on. You can just turn it off again. Or you just want light in the house and you turn on rooms that you're not going to be using. Would that be mutter? That all that is, since there's no effort involved, then it would be that you don't have to make that calculation in your head. Is this Torah HaMoed? Is this not Torah HaMoed? You may turn on and off the lights. Another example would be if you walk out on Chol HaMoed and you have things in your pockets. Do you have to empty your pockets before you go out? True, there's no issue of carrying if it's Torah HaMoed, but if it's not Torah HaMoed, a dirty tissue that you're going to discard and throw in the garbage, what are you doing with it in your pockets? True, on Yom Tov, that's a discussion already. How do you keep a dirty tissue in your pocket? Maybe before you leave shul, you should throw out all the dirty tissues, or before you leave the home, or whatever it is. So we rely on the fact that we have an Eruv. So since there's an Eruv, Mamela, that the Eruv, true, we don't make an Eruv for Yom Tov, but an Eruv that we made for Shabbos, and it's still in existence when Yom Tov comes, so then you can carry things that are not Litzerich Yom Tov. So it's on Chol HaMoed. But if you go outside of the Eruv do you have to check your pockets to make sure that you're not carrying anything? So that's another example. Let's say that that is a melacha that has no tircha, there's no effort involved, and therefore you may do such a thing. And the last example that it brings is to, this is where we learned it from, because the Shulchan Aruch brings this down, is to take a gafshushis out of your karka. That means that you have in the days when they have earth floors, so you had a clod of earth and got in the way, so you could pick it up and throw it out. That's considered an effort. That was the typical example given in the halacha of an effortless melacha, that although that is also on Shabbos, but Chalamoid it's mutter because it is effortless. There are opinions. First of all, I'll say that, so that's the basic halacha, is that something that is totally effortless is mutter on Chalamoid. We will see an exception in a moment. There are those who hold that the whole idea of hoitzah, of caring, does not apply on Chol HaMoed. It's not even an issue. It's effortless and therefore, so therefore even something which takes effort I can carry, that the whole of hoitzah doesn't apply. There's many, many opinions that hold that way. Just on the other side, there are those who are machmir and hold that no, even these type of melachos where there's no effort involved, there has got to be a Tzorach HaMoed. And however, the consensus amongst the Paskin is to hold that it is mutter. So that would give us a heter to talk on the phone. So when you call someone on Chol HaMoed, so you don't have to restrict the purpose of the call for something with Tzorach HaMoed, and that the length of the conversation only pertains to things that are related to your purpose of your call. You call someone for a recipe, so you can pick up the phone, you can call them, you can get the recipe, and you can't ask them how are you, and you can't say goodbye, and you can't say how are your kids and what you're doing tomorrow. That's not Tzorach HaMoed. But since this is effortless, the melacha, that will be something that is mutter to do. So too, when you travel in a car, if you go somewhere and traveling in a vehicle, so you don't have to justify every part of the travel by this is Tzorach HaMoed. You can go in for things that are not Tzorach HaMoed. And another nice example of this, I remember when I learned this, it bothered me, and then I see, this is how Rabbi Karp says, tearing toilet paper is a melacha. So therefore, just like on Shabbos, we prepare Shabbos toilet paper. So on Chol HaMoed, we should also have we should have Shabbos toilet paper. Why should you be allowed to tear toilet paper? Especially we see the example, the halacha brought down is, can you reshoe your horse? Which is the melacha d'oraisa, to put a horseshoe on your horse. So that's brought down. Halacha, can you reshoe your horse on Chol HaMoed? And the answer is that if I can walk to my destination, then I may not do it. But if I need the horse to get there, this is not the distance that I would normally walk, then I need my horse to get there, so then I can do the melacha, because that becomes a Tzorach HaMoed. So we have this concept that if there's two ways to do something, then I have to do it in the mutavika way. So if you can knock on someone's front door and they can hear you, then what's the heter to ring the bell? If you live on the first floor and you can climb the stairs, why take the elevator? These are all things that would be a big question when, since there's a mutter way to do it, can you do it in the way that requires a melacha? But if you're holding that something that is effortless is not asur, then you don't have to take this into account. Therefore, you can ring the bell, you can take the elevator, and you can tear toilet paper. You don't have to have pre-cut toilet paper. Someone who wants to be machmir, tavala bracha, there are opinions that would say that it's thought to be machmir. Rav Moshe Feinstein actually has in the Tshuva that he says that, I didn't check it up, it's all quoted, he said that you could, even writing one or two words is considered an effortless melacha, but there he says he's not going to give a heter because lo plug rabbonon, when they said writing is also, they meant all types of writing, including the one, since writing itself generally requires effort, not excessive effort, but requires effort, therefore writing becomes something that's also, and even though you can do it in an effortless way, we don't give that as a heter. Which follows on the next thing I want to say is that something where in the normal way to do it is it takes effort, but you found a way of doing it in an effortless way that doesn't make it mutter. What's mutter is something where the normal way of doing this is effortless, then it becomes mutter. But something which normally is difficult to do, and you found a way to do it in a way that's not that does not require effort, then it would remain also. So based on that, a car brings down that if you have a machine that does some sort of activity, does something that when you do it by hand is a melacha, that's an excessive melacha. Now you found a machine and you just press a button and you sit back and it does it. So that doesn't give it a heter to do. L'chore, that would be the explanation why printing on a printer is considered as malacha. It's effortless. When you press Control P and then Enter on your computer, that doesn't take any effort. But the printing, that's the writing itself is considered a malacha that generally is considered has effort involved. And printing is a ma'aseh uman, which we'll see later on. We'll hopefully we'll get that far to explain it. And memela, there is an issur to print on Chol HaMoed, even though it is effortless. Also, unless you know clearly what's mutter, one tries not to compare the malachas on Chol HaMoed because the rules aren't so, it's not for sure. The places Chazal said yes, the places Chazal said no. Therefore, it's not so simple that one can just say, well, this is mutter, so this is also mutter. One has to be careful how one does it. A davar she'en miskaven, which is something we've discussed in Hilchos Shabbos. Let's just define it again in short terms. When I do an action and there is a second result that happens either for sure or not for sure, but happens at the same time, I bring the halacha example is if I have a bench with legs that I want to schlep across my floor and I don't have a tile floor like we had today, but I had an earth floor and I'm afraid that the bench will make a groove into the floor. Making a groove on Shabbos is Asur, and I'm not interested in the groove. I'm interested in getting the bench from place A to place B, which is Mutter to move my bench from one place to another. If it's not a Mukta bench, which most benches are not, broken ones are. That's why I say most. So then I can move my bench. It might make a groove in the floor. So then the key word over here is might. If it might make a groove in the floor, that's not a psikresha. That's a davar she'en miskaven. I'm not interested in making the groove. And if it turns out that it did make a groove, that is irrelevant and I don't care about it and becomes mutter. So obviously on Chol HaMoed it's going to be the same thing. But what happens if it's going to be for sure that it's going to make a groove? That's considered a psikresha. When the result is for sure going to happen, it's psikresha. That's the example we talk about when you open the fridge and the light goes on. So I'm interested in opening the fridge and not turning on the light. Lamaisa, the light goes on. So I do an act of opening a fridge in order to allow me to take an item out. The light goes on. That's not what I intended on doing. I appreciate it because I can see what I'm doing. So that's the psikresha denichale. If I don't appreciate the light going on, there's a lot of light in the room. I don't need it, whatever the case may be. There will be a psikresha denichale that already drops a level that's for Hilchos Shabbos. So on Chol HaMoed, we're going to say that a psikresha is mutter on Chol HaMoed, and therefore you can leave the light on in the fridge. And even though you don't care about the light or you're opening the fridge for no good reason without a Tzorech HaMoed, even Tzorech HaMoed, then you would say that I can open the fridge anyway. But you don't have to worry about the light going on whether you need it or not. Even if it's the Nichele, even though you appreciate the light, that would be something that's mutter on Chol HaMoed because the psikresha is going to be mutter. But it should be in a way that it's noticeable that what you're doing is for the sake of Yom Tov. So when you open the fridge, it's because you want to take the milk out. But not because. But if no one realizes what you open the fridge for, they think you open the fridge because it's a dark room, you need the light in the fridge. Obviously, that's not really how we turn on light in rooms, but I'm just giving an example. That will be considered problematic, but if you open it, it's clearly that you open the fridge for something that's mutter, then the fact that the light comes on is not a problem. So an example given is the person is riding he's walking past a tree and he breaks off a branch in order to give it to his animal to eat, so you're allowed to do a koiter in order to feed your animal. At the same time, he might be over on Zmira, he's pruning the tree and it will grow bread. And no one thinks that this is what he's doing. So Shabbos, we're going to say that it's Asur. Shabbos anyway, koiter is Asur, so you don't even have to get to Zmira. But Lu Yitzur, the first action was mutter, like in here in Chol HaMoed it's mutter. The second action, the fact that there's going to be pruning and improve the tree, that we don't worry about, that's a psikresha, and it's clear that he took it to feed to his animal, therefore it would be mutter. Another interesting, as I said, a lot of Hilchos Chol HaMoed are related to tircha, to effort. So effort without a malacha, what would be the din? We say that you should avoid doing it on Chol HaMoed. So even things that are not also as a malacha, but they require effort. And if it's not the Tzorech HaMoed, then you can't do it. An example would be that you have you left items at the repairman, whether they be clothing at the tailor or shoes at the shoemaker or a pot that needed to be repaired at the pot fixer, whatever the case may be, and you want to bring them home and you don't need them for Yom Tov, you need them for after Yom Tov or whatever. Since you don't need it for Yom Tov, it's not Tzorech HaMoed. So there's no malacha involved. All the work was done. Let us say the workman has been paid. all that needs to be done is pick it up and bring it home. That is an effort that's shelah l'tzarech hamoed that one should not be doing on chol hamoed. Therefore, to move apartments or to empty out an apartment, even to take the garbage down, would be considered unless there's l'tzarech hamoed. You take the garbage down because it smells, because it's full, you need the place in the garbage. But you have a backyard which is a mess, and you've had a mess like this for the last 300 days. Now suddenly chol hamoed, you have this idea, I'm going to clean it up. That's not the right thing. Could be that we said there's no mukta. So what is the malacha is he doing? So even if there's no malacha involved, but there's an effort put in for something which is not l'tzarech hamoed that we don't do on chol hamoed. Then we have tircha yaseira. Tircha yaseira is excessive effort, which we're going to say is asur, even in Navara Ovid. I didn't say this, maybe I should mention it. We've spoken about machshire, we've spoken about ochon nefesh and hanach saguf. Ochon nefesh is food-related preparations, hanach saguf are things that have to do with the body. Basically, without restriction, you can do or more than what's necessary, you can plan it to leave it to chol hamoed, etc. You can do ma'ase umen, you can do ma'ase heged. Machshire ochon nefesh, we said you can't plan it, but you can do it, and again, you can do even tircha. Something which is tzarech hamoed, so then we're going to say that you can only do a ma'ase heged and not a ma'ase umen, and of course we make it even stricter, and of course you can't leave something which is tzarech hamoed from beforehand. So like we said, to change a tire on your car, if it was possible to do before Yom Tov, you can't do it on Yom Tov. But on Yom Tov you can do it because that would be a tzarech hamoed, and the fire changing a tire is something that most people can do, and therefore be considered as a ma'aseh hedyot. Davar ha'ovid, we're going to allow ma'aseh umen and a ma'aseh hedyot. If a person is in a situation of a davar ha'ovid where it can occur a financial loss, then you may do a ma'aseh umen and a ma'aseh hedyot. What's restricted in the davar ha'ovid is a tircha yaseira. Excessive tircha is not allowed on chol hamoed. The exceptions to the rule are when there's excessive loss. Go ask a rov to define that for you, because each case is individual. Other cases that are mutter with excessive tircha is ochon nefesh. As we said, ochon nefesh you're allowed to do, and mamela. Also hanas aguf, you're allowed to go to excessive tircha in order to achieve that. Things that have to do with refuah, the whole series of shurim that we've given on Hilchos Refua on Shabbos doesn't apply on Chol Hamoed. Chol Hamoed Refua is mutter, and anything to do with a mace and the burial of a mace on Chol Hamoed, again, we say it's mutter, we treat it like total chol, we don't have any restrictions, even if it involves tircha. Tircha for the sake of tanug, tircha that you enjoy is mutter, so if you go for a hike, so although that's quite a lot of effort, but you're doing it for the fresh air and the invigoration and for the enjoyment of Yom Tov, that will be mutter. Okay, now there's an interesting one over here, we have a few more minutes, we can get to this. To define a ma'aseh umen and a ma'aseh hedyot. So the typical case in the Gemara is a tailor sews in a neat way, and therefore his small, neat stitches are considered a ma'aseh umen, whereas a hedyot, a layman, when he sews kashini hakelev, like it looks like dog's teeth. What exactly that means? Basically it means very uneven, large stitches. That's a typical example of something which is a ma'aseh umen or a ma'aseh hedyot. But we're going to have this case all over, and we need to give some sort of guideline of what is considered ma'aseh umen and ma'aseh hedyot. So interesting, brought down is something which anybody can do, but you need to train, you need to prepare, you need to practice, you need to learn it in advance. But everybody can do it is considered a ma'aseh hedyot, not a ma'aseh umen. Therefore, driving a car is considered a ma'aseh hedyot. So although you cannot drive a car unless you've had driving lessons, and I'm not discussing the legal side of whether you get a license or not, I said the physical capability of driving a car needs a certain amount of pre-training. But once you've had that training, then anybody can do it. So that is considered as a ma'aseh hedyot. However, so then what is a ma'aseh umen? A ma'aseh umen is something which is restricted to something which only certain people have the capability of doing. I think an example that's most clear to us is something like painting, an artist who paints something. Well, an umen is an artisan, but an artist is a form of that, and then you can understand, at least for me, it makes myself, I don't consider myself someone who has the skills of an artist. And mamela, to me, even if I went to art school and spent time learning it, my technique might pick up something, but I don't think I'll become an artist. And therefore, to me, I understand that that is considered as a Meister Umman, someone who reaches that level of expertise, and that is not easily achieved by the layman. Driving, a couple of lessons, whether you call that 3 or 30 lessons, a couple of lessons, but driving is pretty much we see everybody can do. Whereas art is not something that everyone can do. So that's how we're going to define the difference between a Meister Umman and a Meister Hedyet, when it requires special skill. Special skill, and that's not a skill that's available to everybody. So the same thing when it comes to writing. Writing is what we call a Meister Umman in writing is Ksav Ashuris. That means the writing that is put in a Sefer Torah. Again, that we see is a skill. True, most people, if they were to put their mind to it, would be able to train themselves to do it, but not everybody, and again, it's not something that everybody does do. Therefore, writing in a Sefer Torah, in Sefer Torah script, would be considered the typical example of a Meister Umman, whereas our scroll, our print, our cursive, or whatever you want to call it, that we write with a pen, we don't have the possibly referred to as Ksav Mashita, it's thin writing that doesn't have a thickness to it, would be considered as a Meister Hedyet. There are opinions that hold that, at least in Hebrew, if you write in square print versus cursive versus the handwriting version, there will be the difference between a Meister Umman and a Meister Hedyet. Mm-hmm. And the question is how to deal with it in non-Hebrew languages where you have block letters and you have cursive. Would you say it's a difference? Could be there's no differences. There's differences of opinion in it. And therefore, we'll just say that writing, most handwriting and most writing that we do that every kid learns in school is considered as a Meister Hedyet. And therefore, should fit into the categories of Chol HaMoed in the fact that it is mutter if it's Tzorech HaMoed and Osur if it is not Tzorech HaMoed. Therefore, you have to think about everything before you do it, whether there's a Tzorech or not a Tzorech, which would also mean, could you do it in other ways? So if you make a purchase, can you write out a check when you could have paid by cash? It would be wonderful if everybody would prepare before Yom Tov a pile of cash that they wouldn't have to use credit cards or checks. Credit cards, especially in the days when you had to sign on the credit card, or even today, where generally when you swipe your credit card, there's a receipt that gets printed out, and as we said, printing is also on Chol HaMoed, so sometimes you can't avoid it. The machine will spit out a receipt, whether you like it or not, but you have to take that into account. So true, that's when you pay with cash, that's going to happen as well. But do you have to take this into account before writing? So the Chayra would be writing a shopping list would be mutter on Chol HaMoed. I'll just mention also, children drawing on Chol HaMoed is mutter. Taking pictures on Chol HaMoed is considered the Meister Hedyet. Could be that there's a Davar Ovid tied in there. You take a picture of something that might not come back again, there's also a Davar Ovid. If you need to ask a Rav Shaila and you want to write down your thoughts, that will be considered as Tzorech HaMoed. You want to go to a tzaddik and ask for a bracha and you want to write down the name of the chole, they will be considered as Tzorech HaMoed, although some would only want makbidim, not to get a written request on Chol HaMoed. Writing on a computer is considered by most poskim as a Meister Hedyet, but if you said the printing would be Asur. Writing on a screen is considered a Malacha, but we just said it's a Meister Hedyet. Therefore, if you have some poskim hold, if you have a choice between two phones, one that has a screen and one that doesn't have a screen, better you should use a phone without a screen so that you don't do writing on Chol HaMoed, even though it's Ksav She'en Miskayim. Ksav She'en Miskayim, even though it drops the level on Shabbos from the Daraisa to the Drabon on Chol HaMoed, it remains Osur. On the other hand, we said there's something where there's no effort involved, it's not a Malacha, so that type. So therefore, there are those who say that you don't have to be particular about that of not using your cell phone and using like a corded landline or something like that. A minute left, and just mention one more thing, and that is being hired on Chol HaMoed has its restrictions. Depends if you need the money for Yom Tov or not, and if you don't, then you can't be hired. However, Yesh Omrim, that if the job you're hired for does not require doing any malachas, so then you can be hired for it, or at least you should be paid in Havlah. That's basically an hour's discussion or shachar given in 1 minute, so it's very general, but I think we've hopefully covered most of the topics of Chol HaMoed, and with that, we're going to wish you all a wonderful Yom Tov, it should be a Yom Tov of Geula and Simcha for all of us, and Emet Hashem in Iyar back.
Thank you so much. Chag Kasher v'Sameach.